Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Good afternoon, Inspired listeners, and welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. As always, thank you for being with us today and every Wednesday. We do have a special show for you. Have you ever thought about all the different ways we've been influenced in our lives that have shaped who we are? Well, we're going to be talking about that and exploring the word lore, which the definition is, and our guest will certainly talk us through this as well, which is the body of traditions and knowledge on a subject or held by a particular group, typically passed person to person by word of mouth. That's also the title of our guest book that we're going to be talking in greater length about today. So we've got a lot of great things ahead of us. But first, I'm Kim Falcon. If you'd like to connect with me, you can do so at lovefirst.info. If I can support you in any way through readings, healings, or hypnosis, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can also connect with me on Meetup. You can join me on Facebook Live every Fridays for Aloha Freedom Fridays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific time for conscious and spiritual conversation, Q&A, and mini readings. I always have fun connecting with the people who join me on Facebook Live. I just love meeting the other people. I love doing the readings, so I have a great time doing that. Friday's topic this Friday is going to be letting go of identities and stepping into the real you. I've seen this come up a lot in conversation around me. I certainly know I've been through those that experience myself. That's what brought me here today. I left the corporate world to do this work, and that was letting go of an old identity. So we're going to be talking about that on Friday. You can call us live today. If you've got questions for me or for our guests, we'd love to have you on. The number is 202-570-7057. So we'll be spending the first half hour talking about, well, the whole hour talking about the book, but we'll reserve questions that you might have. If you'd like to call in for the second half of the show, please do that. Or you can send them through on our Facebook page, which I'll be checking as well. I am hosting solo today. My goodness, it's all me. It's me by myself. As my partner and co-host, Mark, is in London at the Arthur Finley School of Mediumship. In fact, he might be up on platform right now delivering messages. So we're sending you all kinds of love, Mark. If you'd like to learn more about the work that he is doing up in the Pacific Northwest, you can connect with him at marklanehart.com, or you can search the Intuitive Prospector. Every month we have an inspired affirmation for that month, and this month's inspired affirmations: energy without focus is chaos, so focus on all good coming your way. If you'd like to interact with us on social media, you can find us on Facebook under Inspired Living Radio, Twitter and Instagram under Inspired for Us, Google Plus under Inspired Living with Mark and Kim, and this is where you can interact with us and find out about upcoming shows, and you can also send your questions there and comments. We love getting to know our Inspired community. You can listen to all of our archives on Own Times Radio, Podbean, SoundCloud, MarkLanehart.com, YouTube, iTunes, and LoveFirst.info. And Mark and I have also uploaded all the podcasts on our YouTube channels as well. So if you've missed a live show, certainly all the podcasts are available. and available for replay too. So without further ado, the topic of our show today is the book Lore, L-O-R-E, Lore, Harnessing Your Past to Create Your Future. And our special guest today is Jeanette Schneider. She's a speaker, a woman's advocate, and author of the book Lore. She has brought her empowering lectures and workshops to the Influencer Academy, the Women's Leadership Conference at MGM, Altura's Institute, Kaya FIT, Bank of America, Girls for Progress, and more. And in 2015, she was inducted into the Hall of Fame of the Women's Chamber of Commerce in Nevada and was selected as a Vegas Inc. Woman to Watch in 2016. She started Lore in the Little Things, which can be found online at loreinthelittlethings.com in 2015 as a platform catering to women who want to be a part of a conversation that is positive, present, and offers no advice other than to trust yourself and harm no one. I love that. Trusting ourselves is one of the greatest things we can do, and of course, kindness, compassion, which is the opposite of harm. Very important. Jeanette, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. I'm just thrilled to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so you are calling in live from the exciting place of Vegas, Nevada. My goodness, all kinds of stuff going on out there.
I am. We get quite a rap, but it's a great city with a great group of philanthropic people. So lucky to be living here in Las Vegas.
Excellent, excellent. So today, Jeanette, okay, you've got a very very interesting, wonderful background. Before we get into the book, and I know that you spent your time, and I'm not sure, and this is what I was going to ask you, I know as a executive management in the financial sector, is that something that you're still a part of?
I am, actually. I've been in finance for 2 decades and decided to retire at the end of this year. So I will be leaving finance in December to kind of dedicate my life, my soul, my purpose to advocating for women and girls. I've been one of the very lucky few in the investment management space who really has started to dig into the gender lens movement and working with families and philanthropists to invest their money in organizations that not only support women and girls, but have more women on their boards, clean energy responsibility, better OSHA standards. And just, I've had a wonderful career, but it's all kind of led me to this space where I feel like I need to use my platform for others. So I'm making a transition right now.
That's what I thought, because I went to your website and I saw some postings on that. So it was, I was like, wow,
yeah,
that's good. And that's exactly what I'm going to be talking about on Friday when I talk about letting go of identities. That's not an easy thing for the human aspect of us to do. We tend to get quite attached to these identities.
It's so funny that you say that, because as soon as you said that you're doing this on Friday, I'm like, that's exactly what I'm dealing with right now. Because even though this was a choice, there has been a lot of grief that I was not expecting, and kind of the dying of the identity and the dying of the ego, even though you're actively choosing the new life. So it's been quite a process for me, and a lot more tears and fear than I expected. But the way I explain it is there's like 80 to 90% more excitement, and then you've got that like 10% fear. So I'm just kind of digging into it.
Yeah, I think that's it's very interesting, because I feel like that is a common a thing that a lot of folks are experiencing out there. And I've just been reading different energy reports and stuff of what's happening, the earth energies that are triggering a lot of that relate to identities. In fact, I was just on the phone with someone this morning who was having a real hard time letting go of an old identity, a career that she felt tied to for whatever reasons. And it can be a real struggle. Change is never easy for us to go through. But there's an interesting thing that I just posted on social media recently. It's a welcome to your new life, but in order to have your new life, you've got to get rid of your old one or something along those lines. And it's very true. So excellent. So thank you for sharing your experience with us, what you're going through right now within you, as this is about creating your future, right? But this is exactly what the book is about. And so many of us don't even see ourselves as creators, but that's exactly what we came here in this lifetime to do. So talk to us a little bit about your book, what inspired your book, and what can readers look forward to learning?
Sure, absolutely. The book was actually inspired by my daughter. I have been writing and speaking for years, but with no purpose. And once I became her mother, and also in a male-dominated industry, when I came back from maternity leave, one of the questions that was asked of me was, you know, what are you going to do to make up what was lost while you were gone? In my mind, I'm like, I just made this person. And it kind of really shocked me because my identity was changing even in that moment. I had masculinized myself in the finance industry, and yet here I am doing the most feminine, maternal, nurturing thing by bringing a child into the world, and my identities clashed. And I recognized I really wanted the world to look different by the time my daughter got to the same elevated spaces. And so it actually created more purpose in my writing and in my speaking, and I started to advocate. It was the same time my firm was starting to dabble into social impact, and we started looking at the gender lens movement. So not only did I feel strongly about these issues, now I had data to back it up. I had actual stats coming out of Harvard and Kinsey saying, we need women to step forward, we need social change, we need all of these things. So it kind of organically happened. I began blogging. Lauren Little Things was my first blog right after she was born, and I decided to make it more purposeful. And in the process of blogging and interviewing people for the blog, that's where MGM Resorts actually reached out to me because they liked the content I was putting out. And they said, could you turn this into a workshop? And I said, absolutely. And I turned it into a workshop. At the end of the workshop, it took me over an hour to get out of the room because women and even the men in the room, it's kind of funny because I write for women, but this is all very universal. And I can even share some really amazing stories with the men who've gone through this process with me when we dig into, you know, the process behind lore and the visualizations and the exercises. But they want this. They want to be more connected to themselves and understand some of the messaging that they've received. And out of that, when I got that kind of a response from that group, I realized I needed to turn it into a book where it would have a larger audience.
That's wonderful. And isn't it amazing how like somebody can say something just as they said to you when you returned to work, which probably was kind of frustrating to hear in the beginning, but triggered something in you that was like, wait a second, but then that's what catapulted you into the next part of your journey. You know, it's those, we need these people. We need people, even though when they say frustrating things or they do frustrating things or experiences that are difficult, we need people and these experiences to trigger things within us in order to get us to transcend that so we can move into what it is we're supposed to be doing, right?
Absolutely. A friend actually called it recently bless and release. And she's like, we have these people that come into our lives and it's not always a negative interaction, but they pop us out of things that aren't really meant for us or that we've grown out of. And I've had that happen quite a bit lately, especially as I'm transitioning, where someone will come up and say something and you realize you're holding on to things you no longer need to control or you no longer need in your life. You have this person come in and interact with you. And so now I try to remember that point of wisdom, kind of say bless and release, thank you so much, and move on about your day rather than being locked into the frustration of the interaction.
Yeah, it's really, it's an amazing process. I've just recently had this happen myself where I've noted the same thing. I got an email that had some stuff in it that initially was a bit frustrating to read through. And then when it was all said and done, it was like, wow, that email, what that person said to me, helped me see so many different things, questions that I had had that were unresolved within myself for the last year that was wrapped up in this email. But in the beginning, in the onset, you're not seeing that meaning yet. The frustration was triggered, and then you move into the meaning, and it's like, wow, that was the best thing that person could have said to me, or that could have, you know, I could have experienced. That's wonderful. It's amazing, you know, the journey that our soul leads us through. So what must readers be willing to do when they read your book? Because this isn't just the story that you're telling. It's like they're going to have to be active participants, right?
Yes, and it's interesting, as I've gotten feedback from the book, you have to be willing to be vulnerable. I'm trying to mainstream vulnerability, I think, and unintentionally at first. And when I first got feedback from individuals that were reading it, and they were like, wow, Jeanette, this is really painful, and I started crying. If you're having a reaction to my book, it's because it's meant for you. And I set it up into sections. In the beginning, it's about forgiving the past and understanding where our messaging came from, what exactly you believe about yourself that may not be true and may be based on cultural, generational, or social messaging that you've received. So you're really kind of poking at the wounded spots and saying, hey, what's there? And a lot of people have a hard time getting through that first part. And, you know, at first I was, I can't believe, like, they're putting the book down. And that's the advice I kind of give in the book. If you feel like putting it down, that's fine. Put it down for a day or two. But realize that there's been something that triggers in you, a question or a story that is starting to emerge. And then once they go through that process, the next two parts are much more inspirational and aspirational. But I do take you through a journey almost as if you're in a workshop. So there's these do the work exercises at the end of every chapter, where I'm taking the lessons, the storytelling, the experiences from each of the chapters, and then asking you questions. So I'm not giving you kind of, here are the top five ways to heal your soul. I don't think that I have the right to do that. I think that's something that's very personal. It's, here are some questions to help you get deeper in touch with who you are as a person, what your belief systems are, your relationship with worth and with choice, with your family, with your community, and how you look at the world and how you see yourself in the world. And once we get clear on that, it becomes, okay, now how do we make purposeful choices on a go-forward basis to make sure that we are manifesting the life that we really desire that's not locked into these old stories? So you have to be willing to get vulnerable and actually do some digging.
Yeah, that really, there we go. That is our first, I tell you, the time just flies by. We are heading into our first break. And so stay with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes as we continue our conversation about how to create your future. But you have to be willing to be vulnerable.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community. Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Or... Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
And welcome back to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Although today it's just me, my co-host is out in England having a grand old time, and I'm having a grand old time here today with our guest, Jeanette Schneider, as we talk about the book Lore, Harnessing Your Past to Create Your Future. So, Jeanette, before we went to break, and we were talking about the importance of being willing to be vulnerable and to doing the work to go within, because really that's where all the answers lie, is within us. And so you've got to be able to, or willing to do that, to connect with that aspect of you, which is actually really going to lead the way to create your future. Before we move on, Jeanette, what's the best way that folks can connect with you and also buy your book if they're interested in learning how to create their future?
Absolutely. My favorite medium right now is through Instagram. I post content daily and love the feedback and the comments I get. So it's at MS, as in Ms., dot Jeanette Schneider, or they can find me at JeanetteSchneider.com. The blog is linked through JeanetteSchneider.com, and you can also find Lore through Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. Any one of those places will take you to a great shopping cart. But my favorite way right now to just interact with people has been Instagram. I've loved that community.
Great. And this is probably going to be a really interesting time for the for folks out there to be following your work as they go on. They're part of your journey as you transition to stepping into more of who it is you are at this point in your journey, and seeing, you know, how you do that transition, because a lot of folks out there are contemplating the same thing.
Yeah, it's actually been really interesting. The word courage and bravery comes up a lot, which makes me realize there's a lot of people that wish that they could do the same. So it's been really rewarding to have those conversations with folks, because they're realizing, even in watching me kind of transition, that there's bigger things that they'd like to do as well. So it's been a fun and adventurous few months.
Yeah, yes, I bet. But I mean, in order for us to do that, because you're right, it takes courage, and we've got to work through the fears and all of those things. But in order to do that, we got to understand where the programming is within mm-hmm. us. And so, talk to us a little bit about, because your book talks about deciphering and learning from the self-talk you inherited from your mother. So mm-hmm. what is the role that our moms play? And do our moms play the same role for the men out there? You said there are men out there in your workshops that are interested in the mm-hmm. same thing too. So is it for both men and women that they inherited from their mother, or is it just for women that moms tend to have a bigger impact?
No, what I find is that in the conversations with women, they primarily have kind of earned their self-talk in relation to their body from their mothers. Whatever their mother or their grandmother, whatever their viewpoint has been on food or on body image or even the cultural kind of understanding of beauty has really been passed on generationally. And so a lot of our self-talk is based on what we overhear from our mother when she's putting on her makeup, when she's picking out her clothes, when she's getting you ready for school, and the language and the verbiage that she's using, that's a reflection on her own relationship with her self-image. With men, what I found has been really interesting is the guys that I've talked to who've gone through the process with me. Recently, I was on a podcast, and one gentleman actually got emotional. He was the host, and he had done the exercise himself. What he realized is that some of the messaging that his mother gave him about what she appreciated in strong men, who she chose to date or who she brought into her life, made him feel as if he wasn't good enough, that he wasn't going to kind of achieve the same stature of what she considered a strong man to be through the conversations that they would have, or, you know, simple things that people don't realize. A parent doesn't have to look at you and say, here is my viewpoint on X. It's in your everyday relating, emoting, and the child's interactions. They're taking everything in as a sponge, that they're building a belief system that sometimes the parents don't realize that they're consciously creating. My dad and I had the same conversation because I had some issues, you know, body image issues myself. And, you know, he didn't realize that there have been a couple of experiences where when I was old enough for men to find me attractive, the way he handled it was more about me covering myself up as opposed to that older man is being inappropriate right now. And so I built this kind of internal messaging that my body was shameful and something that caused men to do things. So it's really interesting because even the gentleman that talked about his mother and who she dated, he said she had no idea that in just our interactions, she was creating a message within me that I wasn't good enough, that I wouldn't be what you would consider a strong man.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You know, people don't realize the impact that these kinds of things are having on others. And sometimes we don't realize the impact they're having on us. So what are some of the first steps for uncovering this kind of self-talk? And is it possible to reprogram these messages, and how do we do that?
Absolutely, it's possible. I believe anything is possible if you're willing to get dirty. I have absolutely reprogrammed myself, and I've watched the journey of a couple of folks who've been involved in the creation of the book with me as they went through the same exercises. And what I did originally was ask the women who I interviewed when I first started this project. It was supposed to just be a viral mentorship project for women and girls where women were sharing kind of what they wish they would have known. We didn't know how therapeutic the process was going to be. So as soon as they started coming to me and saying, Jeanette, when you have me visualize, I don't think you realize the power behind this. And so we created a visualization where you picture yourself at a younger age and you get very clear, and I kind of walk you through what this person looks like, whether it's a girl or a boy. Whatever age comes to you, what I'm finding is that it's typically right before or after some type of event in your life that's either traumatic or a big experience. And you get very clear. It's really interesting, too, because as you look at a version of your younger self, you have a tendency to take on a very nurturing tone. When you're thinking about the things that you've done wrong in your everyday life, you tend to be like, oh, get it together. What's wrong with you? Why'd you do that? I'm so disappointed in myself. But when your present-day self is looking at your younger self, you tend to take on a very nurturing tone and think, you didn't know better. You did not have the tools. What you were being told was not actually true. And so you're almost kind of reparenting yourself from a present-day perspective, kind of wrapping your arms around that little version. And then you're kind of asking them, what do you need me to know or do for you? And it's just been a really beautiful process and kind of uncovering some of those old belief systems and reprogramming yourself. My first message to my younger self when I did the exercise was, you will spend most of your life believing you are unlovable. And when I wrote that, I was taken aback. I was almost devastated in a way, because I also realized that because of messages that made me believe I was unlovable, I was showing up in life saying, I'm unlovable, treat me as you wish. And so I entered abusive relationships. I chose I had poor choices in friends and in work relationships. And I really had to get clear. And now I can look at myself and say, I've completely restructured the way I enter relationships. I've cleaned up relationships. I've ended friendships that were unhealthy or toxic. And I purposefully and mindfully enter relationships now. One of the best things that ever happened was having a conversation with my daughter, who's 7. And she recently said to me, her superpower would be that she's so lovable. And it took my breath away, because I was like, I've ended a cycle or a belief system that the women in my family are unlovable. So my daughter doesn't believe that at all now. So there's definitely power in the practice, as long as you're willing to get your hands dirty.
Yeah, for sure. And a couple of things on that. That was just beautifully said. I do some hypnosis work, and I've done a lot of that work in hypnosis with people, is going back and, you know, doing some regression and reparenting. I mean, the same way that you talked about. And it's a very powerful, in terms of healing and transcending and transforming and all of those beautiful things that you know, help us to step forward, to move forward. I also wanted to say, oh, yeah, you talked about just now taking a look at the people in your life and basically bringing your relationships into alignment, so that the relationships that you have are more conscious and not maybe the toxic and healthy ones. And I noticed that in your book, where you talk about even cleaning up social media. Let's talk about that, because social media is such a huge component for so many people, and a lot of people look to social media to tell them, you know, what the outside world, what their world is, and that's not really what we want to be doing. So talk a little bit about the importance of cleaning up social media, too.
I believe that you feed your soul through your feed, whether or not you want to believe it. The amount of time that we have our screens in front of us is just astounding. And so you really have to get clear as to what you want to feed your mind with. And so I suggest or recommend that people get really clear on their inner talk and their inner voice. And as you're looking at their feed, recognize, when I look at this, does it make me kind of want or wish that I could look like that? Or does it make me feel like, I remember looking at a feed, I was newly divorced, have this little girl, and I'm looking at these fit moms thinking it's gonna inspire me to get to the gym, and instead I'm like, I'm never gonna get a boyfriend. I shouldn't be saying that. You know, these aren't conversations you should be having with yourself when you're looking at an image of a woman online who's supposed to be inspirational. So clearly she was not inspiring me. And so I did something that I met this woman. Her name is Zanna Randa. She's a producer in Hollywood. She calls it the flash unfollow. She says the moment that you have a negative thought about yourself or you start to make a comparison, you flash unfollow that person and don't give it a second thought, because you need to actively follow people who are inspiring you. So find out what lights you up. Find out what things really motivate you. And I do this with teenage girls, too, when we're looking through the social media feeds. Like, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because I'm going to take away your Kardashians, and I'm going to take away this, but I need you to pick an athlete or a gymnast or a speaker or a chemist or a someone who has the ideals and belief systems that you can align with that are going to help create a bigger, better you, rather than looking for the best lip gloss so that you can look like this celebrity. So I really think it's understanding what lights us up and also what brings us down, even if it's for 30 seconds. That's something to be aware of.
Yes. In every aspect of life, when you're looking through your social media, I find it's like, yeah, I could have the looks and all that for sure. But anything that is not going to contribute to the highest aspect of you has got to go, in my opinion.
I agree.
Just from my experience, it's just got to go. So that's great. And, you know, I think a lot of folks out there are afraid to let go of friends that you talked about. Part of this process is bringing everything into alignment that's going to support the highest aspect of you. But a lot of people are afraid to let go of realities and friends that are part of those realities. So can you talk a little bit about that? How to help assist people in doing that?
I think, and if you're having a hard time letting go of friends, start introducing yourself to better examples or people that could become your new kind of crew. And as you spend more time with them, you're going to feel the difference, the distance between you and the people that you should probably leave behind. I was very abrupt in the way that I cleaned up my friend group. I had a very negative experience with a friend of mine. It was a devastating experience where I'd been manipulated, very, very overhanded. And I mean, it was a 12-year friendship, and I decided in that moment I was done because I couldn't continue to have these types of people in my life where I trust them and I love them. And, you know, this is someone who I spent so many times with, I traveled with, and to find out that I'd been misled, it made me really look at everyone because she was so close to me. So I did an abrupt kind of, okay, if you make my shoulders lean in, like round in when you walk into a room, if I get a text message from you and I'm like, ugh, if I change my demeanor or the way I interact with you so that you will accept what I say, you're gone. I made very specific lists of what my body would tell me and what my heart would tell me around these certain people. And then I started paying attention. And some, you know, I knew that it was time to let go. And it's hard. You know, I do have some friends that I've been friends with for years and years and years, and we love each other. But we are not necessarily aligned any longer. So I didn't, you know, cast them off to the side. I check in with them every now and then, you know, check in, say hi, see how they're doing. I'll always care for them. But I started filling my calendar and my soul and my time with people who are better aligned. And I swear it catapulted me. I had women instead of asking me, why are you doing that? And are you sure you want to be making this change? And I don't think you know what you're doing, and thinking more about status. To women who are like, I believe in you, let's do this. How dare you question yourself? So I definitely think that my life experience, I have benefited in career and life and love and always by the new people that I brought into my life, rather than moaning and wringing my hands over the ones that, you know, had to go.
Right. I feel like that's what so many of us are doing now, is building all new realities. So that we can experience all the beauty that is out there for us to experience. Now, that's our second break, our lead into our second break. Stay with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim and our special guest today, Jeanette Schneider. We talk about her book, Lore, Harnessing Your Past to Create Your Future, and all the different concepts in there to help you do that. So Jeanette, we were talking about all these great exercises and concepts in here. You talk about the gut check method, learning yes. to trust and listen to intuition. How do we do that? Because that's so important. We all have it, but not all of us trust it, or not all of us connect with it.
Yes, and it's so funny. This is one of the questions I get asked the most because I think people really want to know how to get there. And the way I can best explain it for me and how I feel so strongly, we all have an inner knowing us. We all have intuition, but somewhere along the way, because of our cultural programming, we lose touch with it and we move more into fear and structural and societal belief systems and kind of trust those, the cliches and the anecdotes and the things like that, instead of kind of ourselves. And the difference for me is with your gut, with your heart, your intuition, wherever you want to put it in your body or call it, it's a knowingness. It's a certainty. But a lot of times it's not necessarily always forceful. The fear, I think, on the other side of it, the negative self-talk or the fear, it's more anxious and riddled and concerned. And yes, it's there to keep you alive. I mean, it's in all manner of ways, making sure that you're safe and that you stay alive and you survive. So it's very important, but I've learned for myself, I had to learn the difference between the tone and the insistence of each. And when I'm in a situation where I need to make a very big decision, I kind of sit back and refuse to make a quick one and say, now, is this a knowingness or is this fear? And if this is fear, let's talk. Let me kind of understand what I'm dealing with and where that fear comes from. Is this an old thing? Is this a new thing? Do I have issues around security? Do I have issues with what are the issues that would keep me? And a lot of times my knowingness has been I just know within my gut. I feel something so strongly. I hear, it's not even that you hear words, but you just know something without a doubt. And I just think over time, people, as they become more practiced at listening to their body, which is, I think, the easiest way to start figuring out the difference, and the way the body shows you how to kind of check in with yourself. Like I was saying, like someone sends a text message and you find yourself kind of like sighing or rolling your eyes or feeling anxious, that's a gut check moment. That's a moment where you're like, okay, there's something about this relationship that possibly isn't the most healthy. Right? There might be some toxicity to this relationship, or there might be an issue that we need to resolve. So while you're learning how to find the difference between your knowingness and fear, I recommend kind of paying attention to your body and the way you interact or respond in certain situations.
That's right. The body sure does tell us all it is we need to know on many different levels, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, it's a wonderful thing. I've learned how to trust it implicitly because when I haven't, it's not been good for me.
Yeah, and then that's when we learn the hard way, right? We don't listen.
Exactly.
And go, oh, okay. We can do this the easy way or the difficult way.
Exactly.
So, you know, Laura, you talked earlier about visualizations and going back and maybe working with the younger aspect of you. But you also talk about the tool of letter writing. Is this would be something where you're working with your past self and also your future self? Is that this would be a different tool than the visualization that you had talked about earlier?
It's a method of visualization, but it's a little bit different. It's more towards kind of manifesting what's coming, manifesting your future, and kind of getting in touch and having a conversation with your higher self. I think it's so important to kind of heal some of the old wounds, but there's still that higher future version of ourselves who has that same nurturing spirit and connectivity with us, who just wants us to get to them, right? And a lot of times when I've gone through this exercise with women, they've said it's kind of funny because it's like a nurturing, yeah, like, but I can't wait for you to get here. And your future self knows, like, you need to take a class, end a relationship. Like, your future self knows what you need to do to get to that expanded higher version of yourself. It's just we get so locked up in kind of the static noise of daily life that we choose to kind of tune our future self out. So the exercise is really to start to get clear what things you need to do and get rid of on the way to that bigger, badder version of yourself.
That's right. And one of my teachers, or I follow her work quite closely, says that your higher self is in a dimension where all that you desire has already exists. And mm-hmm. so this is connecting to that aspect of you to help. It's you guiding you along the way. And that's it. It's one of the ways that you learn to trust the gut check. It's one of the ways that you learn to trust yourself is by this ongoing process.
Absolutely.
Exercises like this. So what... Now, when you came up with this process, like, what came up for you when you were writing your first letter? Did something noteworthy come up for you in that process?
I think for the love letter to my past self, the noteworthy was just the unlovableness. It was that. And then the other thing, I will say there was a second thing that came up. I grew up in a very a poverty-stricken neighborhood where there was a lot of violence. And I didn't realize how deeply that affected me. I have issues with security and safety, physical safety and security. And always concerned watching my, you know, surroundings. And that's something that doesn't go away easily when you're raised around violence and you see a lot of violence around you. So that was one thing. I didn't realize how deeply it affected me and why that's why I have a security system and two dogs and cameras and this underlying, and it's not even paranoia, it's just more, it's become like this subconscious hum that I need to be safe. And it made me realize where that came from. To my love letter to my future self, I only recently did that because my daughter asked me to. It's kind of funny, you know, how I do a lot of visualization of my future self, but I hadn't written the letter. And I think for me, it was kind of more of a check that I'm on track. It was more of my future self saying, I've got you. You're really, really, you're good. And you're not, we always have this vision of failure as being what's going to happen if you fail. It almost act like it's like this terrible thing. If you strive for something that you really desire, if you fail, so what? We get into these mindsets of, you know, oh, then I don't know if I'll have a place to live, or I don't know if this, I don't know if that. And you always have the tools to help you redirect yourself. And so I think we have a tendency to think almost like in an apocalyptic perspective of the future, and that's simply your fear. So it helps me kind of get clear on how much trust I should have in myself and in my grit, what I've already accomplished in life that I shouldn't have based on where I came from. If you statistically look at where I came from and where I am in life, it shouldn't be possible. But I have grit and I have purpose and I have personal power beyond belief. And I had to have that conversation with my current self from my future self and be like, you've gotten this far. You're going to be fine.
And it's all about trusting, knowing that your soul has your back, that itself
yes.
has your back. Yeah. So if a listener is interested in going through this process,
mm-hmm.
how would you guide them so that they can write their own letters? What would you say to them?
Well,
aside
I would simply say,
aside from get the book,
read my book.
The book, that is all in there.
Right, read my book or come to one of my workshops. No, I would say, commit to it. I think would be my biggest piece of advice, because when you start doing it, you're going to likely, if you're like most of the people that I've met, you're going to feel some resistance. And what I would say to them is if you feel resistance, that's a good thing. That's the other side trying to pull you through. It's something that you need to get rid of and just thank it, because it's about to take you on a journey. And you're going to learn about yourself in a way that's going to change paradigms for you and the people you love and influence. So thank the resistance and keep leaning into it and commit to the process.
Yeah, I think that's a really important message, Jeanette, that you've got to be committed to you. I mean, when it's all said and
mm-hmm.
done, if you're not committed to you, who's, you know, you got to do it for yourself. And it's, you know, how much do you want what it is you're seeking? And stay committed to that practice, to you. So we've talked a lot about, like, you know, how words and actions can, from our loved ones and our home environment can affect us. So how can we be sure that we are passing on the most positive and loving messages to our children and those around us? Because a lot of times we're just acting naturally. We're not consciously, you
right.
know, thinking about every word and action that we're saying and doing. So what's the best way for us to do that?
My daughter gave me a tool that I thank her for, and she had come home from school one day, and she'd been getting, you know, your typical cliche, you said acting natural. I don't really think of it as acting natural. I think of it as acting programmed. We have this tendency to just vomit out the answers our parents gave us. You know, when your kids come to you and want to understand about the universe or God, you have a tendency to spew out whatever religious belief system you were given. When they ask you about relationships, you have a tendency to say the exact same things that your parents said. And with my daughter, she came home from school one day, and I knew I had to do some reprogramming of myself because of my religious belief system. So that was already in progress, or in process. But when she came home and she says, Mommy, is it true that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Because that doesn't seem true. And I said, no, that's not true. And she goes, okay, so what about this one? What about, if a boy likes you, he's going to hit you. And that means he likes you. And I'm like, no, that's not true either. And she's like, well, what things are true that people are telling me? These grown-ups tell me things, but I don't think that they sound right. And it was just funny because it was like out of the mouth of babes, right? She has this question about what she was being told. And I realized, like, how often we throw this stuff out there. So I think for any parent, understand your own messaging first and what you actually believe about religion, culture, society, your body, the way you interact, gender relationships in the home and at work. Understand what you are taught and what you, between the difference between what you're actually taught and what you believe, so that you can create purposeful messaging with your child. I'm very purposeful in the way that I talk to my daughter, and I'm very conscientious about the language that I use, because I want to make sure that I don't create a child whose value or her only worth is her body or what people around her are telling her, which is unfortunately statistically true for girls. So I have to make sure that I don't add to that. And so I'm a very conscientious parent and make sure that the messaging is well thought through, but you have to get clear on your own, because acting naturally is simply just passing on generational programming.
That's a very, very good point. All of this that we're talking about takes a great deal of awareness. Without awareness, you just repeat the same old thing. So it it is a different way of being. And again, it's how committed to you do you want to be? So I just really want to thank you for sharing just such beautiful messages with us today as we come to an end here on Inspired Living. But these, what I really love about your work too, Jeanette, is that these are really important things for everyone to think about. Men and women alike, we all have these unconscious programs running within us that are obstacles and a hindrance to us being the creators that it is we are. But in order to understand those programs, we have to go within. And this book does a nice job all the way through of leading you through doing the work, because you have to be an active participant in your own life. In your own life.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for being here. Again, if you'd like to learn more about the work that Jeanette is doing, again, if you'd like to share with our listeners one more time how they can find you and also your book, that would be great.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm at JeanetteSchneider.com, or you can find me at ms.JeanetteSchneider. And the book is available on both Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Lore, Harnessing Your Past to Create Your Future. Thank you so much for having me. This was such a great conversation. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Me too, Jeanette. Thank you for your messages and all the beautiful work you're doing, and all the best as you transition into the next part of your journey.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.